Psalm number 62, and we're going to look at a good amount of this psalm tonight, but we're going to begin by reading verse number 8, Psalm 62, verse 8. Psalm 62, 8 states, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah." How many times do you feel overwhelmed in life? You know, maybe you're a mother. You've got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 children or more, and they all want something from you at the same time. You know, or maybe it's just an issue that you're dealing with in life, and you're overwhelmed. You don't know what to do. You don't know really where to go. You wish you could just call somebody up, you know, and talk to them about it, and they could just give you the answer that you need for the problem that you're facing. You know, sometimes maybe you feel like you could just, you know, sprout wings, you know, and just fly away. And just get away from all your problems. Well, tonight, I'd like us to look at a valuable tool that we know that we have. But I'd like to look at two important aspects of it, of this tool that we have that can help us, that can, with God's help, enable us to deal with those times when we feel overwhelmed, when we really don't know where to turn or what to do. First of all, and that topic, that vital tool that we have is prayer. And the first aspect that I'd like to look at, first of all, is the command to pray. Notice what it says in verse 8. It says, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people." It says, "Pour out your heart before Him." Pour out your heart before Him. I like to see this is a liberating command. It says, pour out. You know, we don't have to worry about saying too much to God. You know, sometimes when you're talking to somebody, you're going to ask somebody something of them. You think, okay, let's see what kind of increments I can say this in. You know, I'll start off with this, you know, small aspect. We'll get that by, then maybe I'll wait a little longer and, you know, I'll ask them the next part. Have you ever felt that like that in life where it's just like, you know, you only can ask so much at one time, otherwise the person's not going to be able to handle it. Well, here it's really a liberating command. We don't have to worry about saying too much. We don't have to worry about, you know, how much we say at one time. The Bible says, pour out your heart before Him. We have an example of this in Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Here we have Hannah, who had a great burden of heart. She was childless. And not only was she childless, but there was another, you know, lady there and it was a very conflicting situation that she was in. And she comes, it says, in verse number 10, 1 Samuel 1, verse 10, "And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore." It says, "And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth." Then verse 13, "Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved." Then let's go down to verse 15. "And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." You know, here Hannah was in great bitterness of soul. There was great agony. There was great conflict in her heart. But what did she do? She came before the Lord. She poured it out before Him. And what did God do? He answered the prayer that she had. Notice Psalm 102. This is a liberating command that we have. You know, you're not the only one that's felt like this. Notice Psalm 102. Notice the title of the psalm. It says, "A prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and what? And poureth out his complaint before the Lord." You know, it's a liberating command. Pour out your heart before Him. Notice the verse number 17 of Psalm 102. It says, "He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer." You know, when we come to that situation in life, we're overwhelmed. We can't handle life anymore. We're in the place, really, where we recognize how much we need our dependency to be upon God. A liberating command, but also it's a loving command. Notice the back in Psalm number 62, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him." This is a loving command. It's personal. He says, pour out your heart. You know, this isn't just, so to speak, surface communication. But this is communication that's from the depth of your soul. And God is concerned about the very needs that you have in the innermost depths of your being. Amen. It's a loving command that God has given us. Pour out your heart. It's personal. You know, sometimes we don't even know what to say. We don't know how to voice the feelings, the afflictions of our soul that are going on within us. And it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, "Is likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You know, this is a loving command. We have a personal God that wants us to personally pour out our heart before Him. You know, prayer is not just a list we go through, although a list can obviously be a good thing because it reminds us of things to pray for. But it's something here in this passage, something that's coming from our heart. But notice that this loving command is pointed. It says, pour out your soul, where? Before Him. Pour out your soul before Him. As you think of this being a loving command, you can think, you know, God doesn't have a secretary that weeds out all the unimportant calls. You know, we have what? Direct access to Him through Jesus Christ. You know, you can call, nowadays you make a phone call, you know, and first of all, you know, you get, a little bit of English, then you get a little Spanish, and then, you know, you press this number to go to this location, and then maybe you press another number to get another location, and then, you know, you want to get, especially if you're calling the government. I think I was just talking to somebody, or I showed up at somebody's place for something and they were on the phone and they didn't want to talk to me right away because they finally got through with whoever they were trying to get a hold of. I think it was some government phone call and they didn't want to lose the opportunity after however much time it had taken them to actually be connected with this person. But we have a personal, loving God, and He says, pour out your soul where? Before Him. We can go have direct access to Him. God doesn't have some angel designated, okay, listen to all the prayers of those people. You know, and then if there's something important enough, bring it before me. We have direct access. It's a loving command. So first of all, we see this command to pray. It's liberating. It's loving. But also, note, I'd like us to see the commitment involved in prayer. Notice the commitment of prayer. It says there in that verse, trust in Him at what? At all times. At all times. You know, God is not somebody we just take off the shelf when we need Him and put Him back up there. All right? The Bible says, trust in Him when? At all times. You know, God wants us to pour out our heart before Him, but He wants to be our God at all times. He wants us always to have our dependency upon Him. There is a commitment that is involved in this prayer. And part of this commitment involves patience. Notice the first verse. It says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. The idea of wait there is the idea of stillness. It's silently. All right? There's patience involved. You know, we're not restless, but we're quietly waiting for what God has in store for us. There's patience involved. It's not, you know, come on, why did you have to do this, sir? I just can't stand this. You know, get it over with. It's patient. Patiently. My soul waiteth upon God. There's a quietness involved in waiting upon God. But not only is there patience involved, but there's also the aspect of protection. There's the aspect of protecting our hearts. Notice verse number 2. It says, He only is my rock. He only. You know, there's not other competing gods in our life. He recognizes that there's one source of protection. Verse number 4. He says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Notice that. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Notice verse 6. He says, He only is my rock and my salvation. You know, there is no one else worth going to. He is the only one. And as this prayer, there is commitment involved. There is a recognition that God is the only one that's my defense. He is the only one that's my rock. He is the only one that is my refuge. There's a protection of our heart. It is God alone that we are going to go to. But there is also a right perspective that is involved in this commitment. There's a negative aspect to this perspective. Something that we keep out of our perspective, so to speak. There's a negative aspect. Notice verse number 3. He says, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. Here he recognized the enemy. He recognized what they were going to be. It says a bowing wall. You think of a wall that's bowing out, and it's ready to fall, a tottering fence, ready to fall over. It says here in verse number 10, well, actually, let's continue on verse number 4 first. It says, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. Now this psalm could have been one of the instances could have been Absalom trying to overthrow David. And you can, if it is this instance, you know, you can imagine the people that were telling lies about David. Maybe they were blessing him and then they turned on him. And so there's a perspective here, a recognition of the wrongdoing and verse number 10, it says, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. There's no one else worth trusting in except for God. And we must keep that perspective in our lives. And when we keep that perspective, you know, don't trust in riches when they increase. There's only one person that can provide protection for our lives, and that's God. But yet many times these other things come into our lives and our perspective gets off. You know, and then we're not ready to pour out our hearts. We're not really in the position to pour out our hearts before God. You know, men will not save us. Verse 9, surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balances. They are altogether lighter than vanity. So there's a negative perspective, but there's also a positive perspective that he has as he is committed in his prayers to God. Verse 5, it says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Why? For my expectation or my hope is from him. He recognized what was going to take place, the end result of putting his trust in God. There was expectation. There was hope. Not something that might happen, but it was a sure event that was going to take place in the future. God was going to provide him deliverance. You know, I remember something my dad said in a message a long time ago, and that in trials, what does Satan want us to think? He wants us to think that there's never an end. That trial is never going to end. It's just going to continue on. But with the right perspective, we see that there is hope. Our expectation is from God. Verse number 6, notice his perspective. It says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall what? I shall not be moved. There was a right perspective that he carried with him into prayer. Verse number 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. He had the right perspective in his prayers. Notice verse 11. It says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that what? That power belongeth unto God. God has all strength. And see, when we have this right perspective, what will we do? Well, we'll go to him in prayer. But when we don't have the right perspective, when we think that there's help in something else, you know, what's sin? Sin is a shortcut. And when we try sin to solve that, or we trust in the wrong thing to solve that, we're going to be messed up. And when we have the right perspective, when we see who God is, what's going to be the natural thing? To go to him in prayer. You know, if you knew somebody, you know, if you had a financial problem and you knew somebody that had a lot of money and they had told you in the past, you know, hey, if you ever have a problem, just call me up. You know, what are you probably going to do if you got into a financial bind? You'd call the person up, wouldn't you? If you really believed them. It would be your what? You would think it'd be, you know, just something that you would maybe naturally want to do. If you knew this person really loved you, really cared about you, and you got in this financial bind, you know, maybe it wasn't something stupid you did either. So you weren't going to feel, you know, completely embarrassed when you called them up. You know, but you'd what? You'd call them. And when we have the right perspective, that power belongeth unto God. You know, then the verse 12, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth what? Belongeth mercy. You know, we can come to God. We can pour out our hearts before him. But we need to recognize that there is a commitment involved in this. You know, you don't just live your life, live life your way, do your thing, you know, and then one day, oop, I got a problem. You know, run over here, see if it works for a few seconds. Oop, now let's come back and do my thing again. You know, if you think about it, if that's what you did and you expected God to do everything you wanted, in a sense, what would God be doing? He would be enabling you to live your life the way you want to live it. And that would be bad. Because living life the way we want to live it, every man doing that which is right in his, you know, there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the what? The ways of death. And so we need to realize the commitment involved. There's a constancy. But there's such great blessing. And as you see the psalmist's perspective, and what a blessing there is, that we can simply pour out our heart before God. And that He wants us to do it. Not only does He want us to do it, but He has commanded us to do it. And what a blessed thought that is, that no matter what we are going through, God wants us to bring that to Him and speak to Him about it and entrust that issue to Him alone. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the great privilege that You've given to us. And Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord, even tonight, just to gain the right perspective, Lord, on what You have given to us, Lord, on what You have commanded to us. And Lord, I pray that You would work in each one of our hearts even now during this time. And I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, you know, is there something that maybe you've been trying to handle on your own? You know, something that you felt overwhelmed? You know, sometimes we can take it out on other people. We can get irritated with others. We can, and instead, what does God want us to do? He wants us to pour out our hearts before Him. We need to see that no one else can provide that for us except for Him. Maybe even right now in the quietness of the moment, there's just something that you need to deal with. And just take it to the Lord. Even right now. And we're going to have prayer time in a little bit. You know, we need to what? We need to pour out our hearts before Him. Lord, may You enable us. May with the help of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, would You help us to communicate, Lord, those innermost feelings. Lord, that can be hard to communicate. But we know that with Your help, Lord, You can help enable us to communicate that and also provide the answers and the wisdom and the strength and the deliverance that only You can give. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.